Blog Talk Radio.
Pep and Better Love, you are listening to the Truth to Power show, and my name is Beverly, and my guest host tonight is Eric L. And we do have the legendary Miss Kim Westing with us again, and we have a special guest, Airborne. Eric, are you there?
I'm here, Beverly. Can you hear us?
Yes, yes, I can. Oh, hold on.
Okay, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. No, go ahead. Miss Weston had called.
I don't know
if she could get through. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Well, if we have any problems, I can call her and get her. But okay, all right, excellent. I want to greet everybody with love and respect, and glad everybody to come in and share the space with us tonight. We have another powerful recording to have in the archives. And when I said I asked, can you hear us? All the little creatures of the universe, there they go. Can you hear them? The cicadas, the tree frogs, the crickets, they all enjoying the broadcast. I'm out here amongst the trees, out here in the forest. And so, glad to be with you again, Beverly. Thank you so much for these powerful broadcasts.
Thank you for your energy and your insight.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah, how you feeling tonight, Beth?
Yeah. Well, I'm doing good. I'm surfing. I'm vibing. High vibing.
Surfing, all right. All right, all right. I like that. I like your grandson's music. And one day I would love to get together. And we know a bunch of young artists. Yeah, we should get all these young artists together, and so we could dialogue with them. Let's give them a chance to speak for themselves, and hear their music, and not judge
it.
Let's just sit down and dialogue with them, and see if we can come to terms of coming to some kind of agreement, and let them know the great responsibility that they have. If you have a platform where you can be heard, it's not for waste, or you have to really. It's a huge responsibility. So let's sit down and dialogue with them. We know a bunch of them that want to be heard, and they can come on and do some poetry and do rap music, and let's see what it's about. And we can sit down and if they would hear from the elders, that's good. If they won't hear from the elders, then, we gave them that platform and that chance. We can't judge them, Let's get to them and talk to them.
That's perfect. And I would like to have him and Lady G-Son on and others. That would be perfect.
Absolutely. There's a bunch. There's a bunch of youngsters that be listening to this broadcast, whether people believe it or not. There's a huge young audience. Because I've turned a bunch of people on to this show. And so there is youngsters out there of all nations, all creed, that have talent. And we can get them together and do a broadcast. And I'm looking forward to that. That would be powerful. We need to dialogue with our youngsters and not put them to the curb. We all have a growing phase that we go through. Some of us are not so beautiful when we first blossoming and coming out. Sometimes we look really ragged, but then, we clean up after a while. Yeah. But some people come out the gate, though. Some people come out the gate just shining, these youngsters being born today, Beverly, 8, 9-year-old got talents, seasoned talent people like a 70-year-old, handle they self, talk
I
proper.
Know.
Can play the piano, the bass, the stand-up bass, the drums. I mean, man, we have an incredible talent bunch of youth being born today. So we want to bring some of them on the air so, we can learn from them because they are our great teachers.
And that's been one of the complaints that they've been, the young people has been complaining about, that the elders won't connect with them. And so that's excellent. I think that's an excellent idea. We have our guest on the line here. Let me pull her up. Miss Kim, are you there? Miss Kim? Kim Weston, can you hear me? Miss Weston? Okay, I see her line is open.
Okay, the Colonel was calling me. Forgive me. Blessings, everybody.
Okay.
Miss Kim. Listen, I'm going to tell you what. It's all right, because greater is he that's in you. He's in the world. And I'm ready for him. The devil gave me a sucker punch, Sister Beverly, but guess what? I'm coming out fighting, because no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I got some fun.
Okay.
And the Colonel should be
knocking
in a minute. The Lord's been working, I'm trying to tell you. So I didn't get a chance to hear anything. I was running back and forth with the Colonel. So you all
Let me know what y'all talking about.
Okay.
Oh, we were just talking about my grandson and Lady G and other youngsters. They have new songs that's out, new albums that's out, and we were saying we was going to do a show and get all the youngsters together and let them talk with the elders. I would love for you to be on that show. So we can communicate with them and listen to their music and see, you know, where their thinking is at.
We didn't get a chance really to talk about my programs. I love for my young people for you to be able to meet some of them. They are.
Yeah, we got to do a show with just the young folks, the young people. They need
Sister
to be
Beverly.
Heard. The young artists, yeah.
The musical director for the Motown 60th anniversary concert was one of the young people for my youth program.
Oh, wow. Oh, okay. All right. We would love to have him on. Give them a platform so they can be heard.
And that's a part of Detroit. That was one of the things that really bothered me when they said Amazon, one of the reasons Amazon turned down Detroit in that bidding for the headquarters was that they couldn't find any trainable talent. How is that possible? In the city
they
of Detroit.
They couldn't find talent. Wait a minute.
They could not
Amazon.
Find enough trainable talent. People, enough people that were talented enough to be trained. How can that be said about Detroit, Michigan?
I mean, you can go down. Where was they looking at? I want to know where they was looking at. They must have went up in the mountains somewhere because it's so much
I think
talent.
That's what gave that brother that heart attack. Because I know that's not true.
Wow.
My young people are all over the world from Detroit, from the economically
yes.
disadvantaged youth that are professionals now.
Yes. You can go down to the Eastern Market on Saturday and listen to the karaoke, and there's so much talent down there, young, old. I like going just listening to all the talent, and it's free. So how can they say there was no talent here in Detroit? I think it's more talent or just as much as it was
trainable.
Back in the 60s.
They said trainable, Sister Beverly, trainable for what they wanted.
Okay, now explain to us what is they wanted, what they mean,
I cannot tell you that. That's what I read, that they said that was one of the reasons they turned Detroit down.
No. All right. Well, that's just a better opportunity for us.
But I tell you something that I am concerned about. When I came back to Detroit after living in Israel for 3 years, they said that the literacy rate in Detroit was 70%.
Okay.
I don't understand.
Okay. Well. The schools that you got to take a look at who's training them, who's teaching them. That's what you look at. Where are they getting their teaching from, their training from.
You know, Sister Beverly, the Detroit public school system produce most of the talent that went around the world from Motown until they took the arts out of the schools.
Exactly. That was
How
the purpose
it,
of taking it out.
Pardon?
That was why they took the arts out of the schools. Well,
I missed part of that.
Your phone is
I didn't understand
off.
Your statement.
I say, you said that they took the arts out of school, right? Is that what you said?
Right.
And I said that that was the reason why they took the arts out of the school, because of the talent that it was producing. So it was did intentionally.
Well,
can you hear us, Ms. Weston?
I heard you, and I was having a thought that made me smile. And that thought is, God has put it on my heart.
Mm-hmm.
The Veterans and Community Coalition to come together to help America be what she's supposed to be, with love.
Right.
That's what I want to work toward. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Whatever the problem is, we've got a solution.
We got
here.
The solution.
America,
we definitely
America
have.
Is the greatest country in the world. With all of our problems, with all that we've been through, but I'm going to tell you something, the word that I believe is all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord. And I love God. I love my Creator. Because he first loved me. He loved me when he thought about me, because he thought about what he could do with me. And it's for his glory. And when people start dealing with what they're supposed to deal with, and that's the glory of God, trying to be the best that we can be, then all this garbage that we're dealing with, there's no excuse. There's no excuse for veterans to be hungry. There's no excuse for children. When they told me they didn't have any toilet paper in the school, I said, what do you mean?
But it's our responsibility. Those are our children. And
absolutely.
And anybody's children. I mean, just the public school. The public school is the people's school. And so if things are lacking, we're supposed to step up. People don't realize how powerful they are in the United States. Why are we giving our power away? All we have to do is step up. That's all. And do it. Quit waiting
for
other
thing
people.
I've learned
quit
is,
acting like children.
Mm-hmm. One thing I've learned, Sister Beverly, is the enemy, he's doing a good job distracting just about everybody from what they're really supposed to be dealing with.
But
like I told you, he caught me the other day. He sucker punched me, but I'm coming back at him.
But you know what? I don't even look at him as an enemy. I look at it as competition. And so it's how you respond to it. It's what you going to do about
absolutely
it.
Absolutely, positively.
That
I was told it's not what you're going through.
What is
it's not what you're going through,
right.
Sister Beverly. It's how you're going through it.
Yes. Is your response, what you do about it, how you handle it. So that energy is doing what it's doing. You got to do what you do.
That's the problem.
You have to make sure it don't overpower you.
Enough of us ain't doing it.
Well,
and
one at a time.
And why do people can't do it?
Well, you have to keep on. Life is a continuation. It don't stop. You keep on. The trees keep growing. The flowers keep growing. You keep going on. You don't let it stop you. That's when you get in trouble, when you let it stop you. You keep the energy flowing. Keep pushing till you push through.
I was listening to Bishop Jakes yesterday, and he said, keep it moving.
Yes, that's what it's about. It's energy. We energy. We force. We the force. And you have to. You have to keep that energy moving. Were you about to say
Beverly,
something, Eric? Yes.
Yeah, can you keep push a vinyl? Keep it pushing. Push some vinyl right now. Put some healing tones on this thing, whatever it is. Don't even bring him into the cipher.
Okay.
Man. Put some tones on him.
Okay, okay. We're gonna put Kim on them. We're gonna put Miss Kim.
Yeah,
Weston.
There you go.
Let's see. Let me see what we got here, Miss Kim. Okay. Can I choose from what you're thinking about?
Yeah, go ahead.
What you got?
Which one? I got. Let me see where I start. I'm gonna start right here. I got. Hold on. Okay, I have Dancing in the Street. He's My Baby.
Nope.
He's Love, Great Thou
Art.
He's
My Baby.
He's My Baby. Okay,
he's
we're gonna put He's My
Baby. I wanna tell you about my baby. I wanna tell you about my sugar baby. My sugar baby.
Can you tell us about Airborne?
I'm losing you. I'm not hearing you.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Okay, that's better. What did you just say?
I see that our guest is here. Can you tell us a little something about Airborne?
About Airborne?
The Colonel. Miss Kim, the Colonel.
Oh, okay. Minister Colonel Leon Colonel Wright, and I promise you, all you got to do is just let him in. He'll speak for himself.
Okay. Okay.
One thing about it, the Colonel is a Tuskegee Airman. He's a Tuskegee Airman.
Oh, my God. Okay. Colonel, are you there?
Yes, ma'am. God bless you all. How are you doing? Thank you, Ms. Weston, for all that awesome introduction. The Lord tell me what to say. I don't do it for myself. Open your mouth and let the word come out from him.
Okay. All
right. Thank you for letting me be on your show tonight. How you doing, ma'am?
Well, thank you for being here. We appreciate you. Tell us your name and tell us this Airborne. Tell us about the Tuskegee.
All right. My part. First of all, Minister Leon J. Wright, Colonel. That's my title. It's on the tail end. The reason why you see it that way, because God is first. That's why you see minister first. The rank is like in the Bible. There's different ranks in the Bible, offices. And I'm part of that military force, if you will, of the Bible side. I'm God's worker out there. My job in airborne, I'm a teacher by trade, Tuskegee Airmen support side. I'm not a DOTA. Those are dedicated, all right? Those are the original ones. And they are documented. That's what the D is for. I use dedicated, but they're documented original Tuskegee Airmen. That's what the word DOTA means, in case anybody ever asked. And I do not fit in that time frame because they're at least 20 years on me. But I come along behind them in support side. Our job is to teach the kids what's not in their history books in these schools that I go in and visit, and I go in their libraries, and I point it out. I point it out in Detroit. I point it out in Texas. I just come back from Virginia, and I just come back from North Carolina, and I point it out in their libraries. Wherever I go, I point it out. Education missing on our kids. So I've taken that missing education. I can talk about it or do something about it. I teach kids how to fly drones because we need them in security. We need them in our churches. We need them in our neighborhoods. We need them in our military. And the kids, watch this. This is 2 weeks ago, sitting right there in good old Virginia. We were at the Air Museum, and you can look up the Tidewater chapter for the Tuskegee Airmen. And you'll probably see a picture of me there. The kids were there. And there was one particular child that kind of caught my heart. He's a quadriplegic. But he had one hand I was able to use for the joystick that was in his hand. I don't know if you know what a joystick is. It's round knob. And like when you play games or anything like that. This is a single lever only. And this is on many wheelchairs.
Okay.
One of the things many decades ago, I did muscular dystrophy in El Paso, Texas, while I was in the Army. I'm part Army, part Air Force. That's a Tuskegee trait.
Okay.
Half Army, half Air Force.
Okay.
While I was there, I learned about muscular dystrophy and those new multiple series of muscle illnesses. I've learned about them. I respect it. To find that one child, it taught me a lot. Are you still there?
We're listening.
Another friend of mine, Bob Tillman's on the line. He just called me back.
Okay.
But I'm going to try and get him to call in, too, if I can. Go ahead.
Okay. And just let us know his area code so I can, and tell him to push 1 so I can see him on the switchboard.
All right. Let me answer him real quick. Cause, hold on. I'll come back to you. Don't let hang up on me. I'll be back.
Line will be open. Okay.
Yeah, but he hung up already. I couldn't catch him fast enough.
Okay.
But I wanted to put him on the air real quick. So I'll do that, and I'll get back to you. I will have to try and match another phone call. I'm going to see if I can match him up, if that's okay with you.
Okay. Yes, definitely. This is history. We need to know this information. We need to know this.
Incidentally, Sister Beverly.
Yeah.
Sister Beverly, Major Tillman, who's trying to get on the line, they made me an honorary Tuskegee Airman.
Oh, did the jacket come with it? I love that jacket. Did the jacket come with it?
Well, that was before the jacket, so maybe I can get something done with that now. Thanks for mentioning it.
Okay. That's great. That's great.
Let you know a part of, when he's talking about the DOTAs, I believe Mayor Young was a DOTA. I'm not sure, but I believe he was. But Mayor Young was a Tuskegee Airman. And I'm hoping to have a little part of my celebration at the Coleman A. Young Airport with the Tuskegee Airmen and some of the DOTAs.
Oh, that would be great. When are you planning on
July
having
the 18th.
It? July the 18th.
That's the July the 18th, the Kim Weston date. I didn't send that to you?
Mm-hmm. No, I didn't receive that because I can post that.
I thought I sent that to you, see? I probably put it on there and then hit the button. So I'll get it to you.
I'll post it. And so what time is it? Is that the Detroit, not Metropolitan Airport, is that the Detroit Airport? Okay.
We're still working on details, but it's the city airport on the east side of Detroit.
Yes. Okay. All right. Great.
One thing I'd like to mention is that the Colonel Wright and Major Tillman, Bob Tillman, they teach children. Mm-hmm. There's a young lady that I want to introduce you to. She started her flying lessons at 5, and she's 17 now.
Mm. Okay.
And still taking lessons.
She's good. Okay.
When the two of them come back, they can tell you about them. But they're working with me on the project.
Okay. That's excellent. Mm-hmm.
And also,
Eric,
we were talking about the scoop. Go ahead with Eric. But I want to tell you about Professor.
No,
Shirley.
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. Tell us.
When we were talking about the arts in the school, and one of the things that really encouraged me, that made me feel like, when I had the opportunity at Motown, was because Professor. Hello?
Yeah, we here.
Hello,
was
I'm here.
Kind of right? Okay. I was speaking about Professor Shirley. When he became the first tenor, black tenor of the New York Metropolitan Opera, this is the same man that I saw at Miller High School that was teaching us to sing. That let me know that just anything is possible if you work at it and you believe.
That's true.
So when I had the opportunity at Motown, that was one of my inspirations. So he's one of the people that I want to say thank you to.
Okay.
And he's still teaching up at U of M.
Okay.
Thank you, there.
Wow. Okay. Yes, we hear. Did you get
here?
Hello.
I hear you.
Oh, okay. Major Bob.
Yes.
That's Major Bob with it. I love you anyway. You're treating me like a stepchild, and I'm telling everybody.
Oh, you know we love you.
Don't
I love you,
and like
ain't nothing you can do about it. Yeah. I was just telling them about Sophie and Nyla.
Oh, yeah. Awesome, isn't
tell
it?
Us about it.
Huh?
Hello. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay.
You started teaching Nyla at 5, right? When she was 5 years old?
5 years old. Yeah, when she was 5 years old, and she graduated from high school now. Well, she just graduated from high school.
And what just is her goals? Is she planning on being a professional pilot?
She has quite a few hours in the air flying. She also works with the Civil Air Patrol rescue division, but she's amazing.
Okay.
Plus, she
I
was
know she is.
Miss Juneteenth last year.
Okay. All right. And what's her name again?
Nyla.
Nyla. Okay. And so tell us about some of the work that you're doing, Major.
Okay, now,
Bob.
Yeah, working with the Tuskegee Airmen, we're in charge of the Speakers Bureau, and my wife and I. Also, we're on the board of choosing young people to go to West Point Military Academy, the Naval Academy, the Air Force Academy. We're going to be working with a I'll be working with a, it's called the Easter Seals Miracle League, with handicapped kids involved in sports, baseball, basketball, track, hockey. So we're doing quite a few things.
Are you
Major
getting
Bob,
the word
didn't you
out
play
there?
Baseball professionally?
I was drafted in 1967 by the Atlanta Braves. I flew back from San Francisco on a chartered plane, sitting next to Hank Aaron.
Impressive.
I have the bat that Hank Aaron hit, a replica of the bat. He hit his 715th home run when he broke Babe Ruth's record.
You have that bat?
You had the bat.
I have a replica of the bat that he hit his 715th home run with, signed by Hank Aaron.
Okay. All right. All right. You got a signature there. Okay.
Yeah. So also working with a gentleman, his name is Ike Blessed. Ike was the played with the Detroit Tigers. Matter of fact, he was Willie Horton's roommate with the Tigers.
Okay. Okay.
So he's got a book coming out. It's called On the Other Side of the Fence.
Okay.
And he talks about how as a black player in the early 70s, that how they were treated sometimes. Real interesting.
Okay, that
book
should be interesting. Yeah.
Oh,
I
yes.
I like it's interesting. Yeah, yeah. And so you're still teaching?
Yeah. When school is in, we work with the kids over at Warren Middle School.
Mm-hmm. Where is that at?
It's over on. It's over in Warren. It's Warren Lincoln Middle School.
Okay. All right.
So are you teaching aviation there?
Okay, we do the aviation program at City Airport through the Young Eagles program. They also have a drone program, teaching kids how to fly drones. And once they get that drone pilot's license, drone pilots make between $70,000 and $100,000 a year.
Oh, my God. And what's the age limit? Tell us the age limit.
Yeah.
How can people join? How can the young people join?
They can just go online, look up the Young Eagles program and the drone program, and they can come over to get in touch with them. Come over to the airport when they have to start the school back up. Now, they're supposed to be flying kids from 8 to 17 through the Young Eagles program. I think they're going to start that back up by the end of July. So things are opening back up again now.
Okay, right. And so they can come and they can sign up. Is it any requirement with
no,
the young people from no requirement?
Come over with their parents and sign up, and then they go up and they take a free flight.
Okay.
So my grandson. Go ahead.
Is there a fee? Is there a fee or anything like that?
No fee.
Wow.
Free of charge.
Okay. Okay. The young people need to know this.
Oh, I know.
And so, just need to get out there. Go ahead.
So it's an amazing program.
And kind of tell us what they
learned. Is Sophia involved with that program?
Huh?
Is Sophia involved with the Young Eagles?
She's involved with the drone program and also the Civil Air Patrol.
Okay. And kind of tell us what do the young people learn in that program? I mean, I know they learn it, but can you kind of just give us some points on what they will learn and how long is the program?
Okay, they can get their private pilot's license when they turn 17. They have to have 40 hours of flying time. Now, the first thing they learn when they come in there at eight years old, they have 64 pre-flight checklists. So there's 64 things they have to learn on the aircraft before they start the aircraft up. They check the fuel, they check the tires, they check the skin of the aircraft. If one thing is off, say for instance, if the tire pressure on the plane is 1 PSI off, they have to put air in there before they take off, because if they take off with it low, they can't land with it. They check the gasoline in the aircraft. If it's a funny color, they drain it out, put fresh gas in there, because sometimes when gas sits up in a plane, it turns colors. It's not good. So the plane gets up there and starts sputtering. So everything is crucial.
Mm-hmm.
And they learn that. It's just like we get in a car, we don't check anything. We don't check the tires and but with an aircraft, you got to check everything because there's no mechanics up in the air. Once that plane takes off, that's it.
Right.
And they have to be thinking at just record speed. If you remember the flight that left New York, Sullenberg, mm-hmm. Captain Sullenberg, when the plane got up, it hit some geese. Shut all the engines down. So when the plane engines are down, it has no thrust. So now, if he had not been a glider pilot in the military, 160 whatever people on the aircraft all would have been killed, because what they told him, they said, try to turn the plane around and come back to New York. He said, I can't do it because I have no thrust. They said, well, try to make it to Teterboro in New Jersey. He said, can't do it because there is no thrust. He said, I'll be in the ocean. He was in the water. So he landed that plane in the water. He saved 160 some people's lives. But so kids have to be thinking on that level. You know, split second.
Right.
So another thing they learned is that there was a young girl, her name was Aaliyah. Famous singing from Detroit. They were in, I think it was in Jamaica, and they had to come back for a flight, come back to Miami, some other place. They put too much baggage on the aircraft. The pilot knew it was too much, and it created a drag. So when the plane has a drag, it can't get up into the lift, because planes really fly on air, sits up on air. But the plane couldn't get up, got up about 50 feet off the ground, crashed, killed everybody on the plane.
Wow.
If you look at any incident of tragedy with planes, it's most time it's pilot error. Kobe Bryant and his daughter, same thing, flying in bad weather.
Well, what's
Okay.
You know, with Kobe Bryant, when that helicopter crashed.
Right,
know,
right.
It was bad weather. They shouldn't have been up in the air. Now, the kids learn basically what is called sight flying. Sight flying means if you take off from Detroit to go to Chicago, you can fly by sight all the way to Chicago on 94. Just following, you know.
Okay.
But if you go beyond that, you need instruments. Be instrument trained. I don't know if you remember John F. Kennedy's son when he crashed.
Yeah.
Same thing. He was a pilot, but he didn't have instrument training. He wasn't an instrument pilot.
Mm.
So when the plane got up at night, he didn't know his plane was upside up or down. He was disoriented.
Mm.
So
okay.
That's a critical thing that kids learn when they get into aviation.
Okay.
Everything's got to be checked. Everything has to be checked 100%.
Wow.
Now, we had a program at Wayne State. You know, we had a program at Wayne State. It was a SEMA program, Science, Engineer, Mathematics, and Aerospace. Kids from kindergarten to 12th grade. We had five, six-year-old kids that knew about aerodynamics, physics, science, how big is the Earth, how fast does a spaceship go around it, you know, all of those things. The younger kids are, the more they can absorb information.
Yes. Okay.
So,
and are they still have that program going on?
It was sponsored by NASA. NASA was paying the professors, and they pulled the program. But it was an excellent program. We had maybe 500-600 kids lined up coming to that program.
Wow, I know. This is interesting. And the young people, they like flying
They love it.
So
they love it.
I know it.
They love it.
This is to be a good program.
Yeah, like I said, my grandson flew when he was 8 years old.
Wow.
And he could articulate. He could articulate by sight. You know, they left from City Airport. They flew over Belle Isle, down the Short River, over the Ambassador Bridge. They came over to America Park. He could see the people out in the ballpark playing ball and back over to City Airport.
Mm-hmm.
That's called sight flying.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay. And flying a helicopter, is it the same as the airplane, or is it different instruments, or is it different?
It's different. Helicopters are different, you know, because, you know, with the rotary blades, it's a whole different concept. But there was two young ladies. They're in a program out in California. Tomorrow's Aeronautical Museum. This young girl, Kimberly Onyedike. Kimberly is the youngest black female in history ever fly coast to coast. She flew from Compton, California to Detroit and back 7,000 miles solo. Her sister, Kelly, they're both in the Guinness Book of World Records. Kelly flew four different planes and a helicopter the same day.
Okay.
And that program in California has the youngest pilot ever for Jonathan. He's with Delta Airlines now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so you and the other gentleman that's on the phone with you, where did y'all learn to fly? Did you learn in the military or before you got to the military?
Well, I was a paratrooper. You know, I used to jump out of airplanes.
Okay.
But I do basically the ground from the ground training with the kids. You know, the safety.
Okay.
All the things that they need. I'm not a pilot. I was a paratrooper.
Okay.
Used to jump out of airplanes.
Okay. Wow. Interesting. I mean, this, if I was a young person, that's something that would really keep my interest.
Oh, my.
And I bet you a lot of young people don't even know about that.
No, no, very few of them know of the program.
Eric, did you have something you wanted to say? Or Ms. Western? Is everybody still here?
Yeah, I got myself on mute. I have myself on mute,
okay.
But I'm enjoying every single word. And I wanted to ask Major and the Colonel I heard you say the quick thinking skill, but we need that period in life. We need that on the ground, and we need that in the water. We need those skills right there are so essential to be aware of your surroundings, to check everything before you move, whether you start walking, whether you're driving, whether you're on a bike. You know, be very cognizant of all of your surroundings. And that's a major thing that's lost. And, you know, I used to deliver papers at 4 in the morning. And I used to be at the university up on campus at 3:30. And the children be walking around with their headphones on, and I be behind them. They don't even know I'm behind them.
Exactly.
So, you know,
exactly.
Yeah. So these devices that we have really distracted us to the point where we don't really pay attention to our surroundings. And that's a major problem. In our society, and we need to focus on that. This is powerful. I'm just sitting back back here on mute and enjoying everything. And I would love for the Colonel to talk about his radio broadcasting experience when y'all get a chance. But y'all, please go forward. I'll yield. I'm just enjoying it. Thank you so much, Beverly.
Thank you. And we do have a caller. Let me see. They might have a question for you also. Area code 314-381. 314-381.
Yes. I want to say hello to Kim Weston. Is this the Kim Weston that sung Take Me in Your Arms?
Yes. Yes, it is. Ms. Weston?
And what?
I don't know. Did we lose her? Her light.
I had me on
her
mute.
Mic is open. Okay. All right.
I had me on mute.
Yes,
too.
That's her.
I was listening.
We can hear you.
Hello.
Hello. You the Miss Weston that sung "Take Me in Your Arms," and
I'm
it's got to be a miracle.
I'm the Miss Weston that sings "Take Me in Your Arms."
Well, I tell you what, that was one of the most beautiful songs that I ever heard at the time. And I remember
seeing you
singing. I think you was on, you might have been on the Ed Sullivan Show or another one. You was up there on
wasn't
that podium.
That was Hullabaloo.
Yeah, you was standing up there on that podium, had that big old smile on your face. And that was so wonderful. It really was. So I appreciate having the opportunity to tell you how we really appreciate the glorious moments that you brought to myself and a lot of other people too. Did you have your own band? Did you have your own band?
I have had my own band. I don't have one right now, but we have so many marvelous musicians, there's nothing to pull one together.
I tell you what, I've seen you do a piece with Frankie Gaye.
Yeah, Marvin's brother. Right.
Yeah, there was a guy on the back on the drums. Who was him? I mean, he was really going at it. Dun, 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 dun.
Was that at the Pontchartrain?
It may have been. It was just you and Frankie. And back in the back on some drums was a drum player. And he was really hitting it.
Yeah,
right.
I guess that was a Pontchartrain where we were working with Ian Levine from England.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah.
Well, I just wanted to say hello to you again and wish you a long, outstanding, and joyful, prosperous life. And the gentleman that's with me. Yes, ma'am.
I was just going to say thank you, darling, and to God be the glory. Okay? And
yes.
Go ahead with what you were going to say to the gentleman.
Yeah, I was going to tell the gentleman with the Young Eagles, that's a good program that you're working with them with. I'm getting ready, trying to get my grandson to get his drone 107 certification, and also his private pilot's license.
No,
that's
awesome.
That is awesome. Yeah, he's out here in Louisiana in Baton Rouge. He just graduated from LSU with his engineering degree, and he's got one more semester in business. And I told him, well, you're going to have to do everything that I've done and need to get your pilot's license.
You got like
no, I'm not current. That was a long time ago with me. That was when it was cost $400 for ground school. That's unheard of today.
Right.
Yeah. But I understand there's a school or airport over in, is that Georgia? Is that Tuskegee? Is that in Alabama? That's in Alabama, right?
But Tuskegee is in Alabama.
Yeah, they have an airfield over there, I think, and they also do general aviation training. And you know, several years ago, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, that's where the Moulton Field is where the Tuskegee Airmen trained at. And what most people don't realize is that there were female pilots. They didn't fly in combat, but they were also female. Well, there was a lot of female Tuskegee Airmen, air women.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The first pilot to get an international pilot's license was a black female, Bessie Coleman. She trained in France and she got her license.
Yeah, I remember reading about her.
And remember also is Josephine Baker. You know, Josephine Baker was a spy for the underground in France. She was a pilot.
Oh yeah,
famous.
Oh,
famous
I knew she was a pilot. I knew she was a spy, but I didn't know she was a pilot. Right on, girlfriend.
Yeah, she was a pilot. Yeah, Josephine was a pilot. Flew for the French underground.
Well, that's great. Mm-hmm. That's stories like that is not heard of.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Actually, those are the kind of things that I think they need to be making movies about. You know what I'm saying? Instead of everybody going to bed with everybody.
Yeah.
How about something like that?
Yeah, you're right, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Things have got so deplorable nowadays. You have to close your eyes when you watch TV.
Yeah. But like I said, that's one of the – as a matter of fact, I'm meeting tomorrow with the gentleman that played with the Detroit Tigers back in the 70s. And he's got an amazing story of how the black players were treated. Matter of fact, when they played in the South, they couldn't even stay in the hotels with the white players. They had to sneak them into the rooms.
Well, I'm from St. Louis, and I played semi-pro baseball. I grew up, I started teaching my grandson to play baseball since he was two. He ended up playing for LSU's travel team. He still plays ball even today. But Kurt Flood was in St. Louis. And when the players came to town, they didn't stay at the Chase Park Plaza, which was on Kings Highway and Glendo. They had to stay at the Alcorn Hotel, which was over there on Washington, and it was for black players to stay in.
I just wanted to say, y'all sound like y'all talking about the entertainment business, show business. Is that what y'all talking about?
Yeah,
talking about baseball. Well, this entertainment,
baseball and entertainment business.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but Kim, tell them about the time Kim was. Stayed in Israel for, how long were you in Israel, Kim?
Almost 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Man, that's just great. You know, you know, there in St. Louis, he practiced and trained with Ozzie Smith, Kurt Ford, who played with the St. Louis Cardinals during the time Ozzie, mm-hmm. Bernard Gilkey, Lonnie Macklin, and that was about it.
Hmm.
May I ask your name, please?
My name, ma'am, is Pianki. It's spelled P-I-A-N-K-I.
Pianki.
Yeah.
I thought that was you,
Pianki.
I
heard
from
you.
Bless
you, darling. Thanks so much for calling in. Oh,
mm-hmm.
I just wanted to tell you what you were saying in Detroit, the only place that your entertainers like Duke Ellington and Tom Basie and Billie Holiday, they couldn't stay at the hotels or the main places. They stayed at the Gotham Hotel, and people really need to know about that Gotham Hotel. That Gotham Hotel in Paradise Valley in Detroit. It was
mm-hmm.
special. And what happened was blacks couldn't go to the other clubs. So they got Paradise Valley was just like Las Vegas. So the people came there. And that's what we need to do. When we do what we're supposed to do, they come in anyway. But they come in to steal as much as they can.
I was going to tell the gentleman, there's a aviation school for middle school, like six, seven, and eight there in Baton Rouge. It's supposed to open up. It's a charter school. I don't know if it's open yet, but it was scheduled to open up, and its theme was going to be aviation along with the regular school subjects. So I'm going to let you guys get back to your show. Once again, I appreciate it, and God bless you, Kim.
Oh, and thank you.
All right. Kim.
Thank you, Beyonce.
Kim.
Thank you, Beyonce.
Yes, sir. Kim mentioned Paradise Valley. Paradise Valley was one of the wealthiest black communities in America at one time. Black-owned businesses. And what most people don't realize that when Black Wall Street was burned down in Oklahoma, a lot of those people moved to Detroit to Paradise Valley instead of those black businesses there in Paradise Valley.
I did not know that. That's the first time I've heard that.
Yeah, that's where they came from. And when Black Wall Street in South Tulsa, Oklahoma, when they burned that black community down, a lot of those people, the survivors, came to Detroit, and that's how it ended up in Paradise Valley.
And that makes sense because Detroit has always been a special place as far as business and networking. I'm 81 years old, for those that are interested. And the Detroit that I grew up in, man, there's no place in the world like it. No place in the world like it. The people worked together, and they didn't deal with petty people. As a matter of fact, they straightened the petty people out. You didn't even have to lock your doors. And I know that happened a lot during that time, but I'm talking about what was happening here in Detroit. You know, the community took care of me because I was inquisitive.
Well, I want to play this for Bianca. This is for you, Bianca.
Take me in your arms, hold me for a little while.
Right now, I'm feeling mine. I'm trying my rock me a little while. Hold me, darling, rock me a little while.
All right, legendary Kim Weston.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
yes.
bless the young man. I want to write it. How he spelled his name?
It was T-I. Yeah, I have it. I'll text it to you if you want me to.
Okay, thank you.
You want me to spell
God
it out
bless
for you,
you
now?
Sir.
Okay. Yes. That's one of your fans.
I want to tell you all something about Take Me in Your Arms. I came here from Israel to accept the Rhythm and Blues Pioneer Award, the Rhythm and Blues Foundation Pioneer Award. They searched till they found me, and they gave me an offer I couldn't refuse. So when I came and got the award, the OJs and the Miracles were on that show. It was a nice show. But I came to Detroit, and I couldn't find anybody that I knew. And the people that I met, I couldn't communicate with anybody. I didn't do a show like this. Well, it wasn't a show like this, I don't think, at the time, but there were shows that I could have done. I couldn't find anybody to communicate with. So I went to California. I went to see my grandmother in Alabama. Anyway, long story short, I went back to California, and I thought I heard God say, go back to Detroit. I want you to go back to Detroit because I want my people back. I want you to help them to see themselves without criticism or judgment. Well, I think I heard it more than once. I'm sure I did. But anyway, when I thought about it, I said, me going back there, I ain't got nobody to even talk to. So I was making up my arrangements to go back to Israel because I had set up a tour, jazz saxophone player from Paris. And we would work. We had a nice little thing going, so I was going to go on back there. Anyway, this particular day, I did PBN for a play that I was doing with Mickey Stevenson called Sang, Sister Sang, where I portrayed Mahalia Jackson. Excellent play. I'm hoping that we can bring all that kind of stuff. We got to make Detroit work for us. Anyway, so long story short, I was walking across the street and I heard an accident. And when I looked around, it was coming at me. I thought it was a big truck, but it was a van. I was told that I was hit 10, 20 feet in the air and flipped 4 or 5 times. I came face first on the windshield. I rolled off and I landed on my feet.
The radio show. That's Kim.
Wow, you landed on, you didn't break anything?
I had two fractures. The bridge of my nose was fractured. My upper gum was fractured. The dentist had to break all that out. But I had no broken bones.
Wow.
I stayed in the hospital for 4 hours. But my point in telling you this is I told some people, I started telling people on the stage that God took me in his arms and he rocked me for a little while and then he let me down.
Okay. He let you down easy, too.
He let me down easy.
Way worse.
When
yes,
I was up in the air, he caught me in his arms because there's no way that there's no luck in any of that.
Mm-mm. That's for sure. And the gentleman, the major and the colonel, I would like to have the person that used to be Ike. You know, one day maybe you can bring him on with us so we can hear what went on back in the day. With the tight
he would love that. How can they get in contact with you? Because I'm meeting with him tomorrow.
You got to meet with him tomorrow.
We'll make sure you get it.
Yeah, Miss Weston. She has my contact. Contact Miss Weston. And we can set it up that
it,
we are.
I'm
going
to give it to the colonel. The colonel will make sure that he gets it.
Okay.
Okay. And then we'll set it up that we all can meet up here again and we can hear, because that's history. We need to know that.
Oh, it's amazing. Absolutely. History. And the last thing is that my high school in Georgia was the number one high school in America at one time. All black high school. My mother graduated from the same high school Dr. Martin Luther King did. She graduated, she went to Spelman, Dr. King went to Morehouse. My aunt had the biggest mansion in Atlanta, Georgia in 1927. It was owned by the first black middleweight boxing champion of the world. His name was Theodore Tagliaflower.
Mm.
The mansion had 22 rooms in it, and my mother, when she went to college at Spelman, stayed at the mansion. My father used to work around there. That's how they met.
Mm-hmm.
And just an amazing story.
Okay. Yeah.
That's a movie that needs to be made.
You know what? That's exactly what we wanted. We want to put together about the mansion. And if you go to Atlanta right now, they tore the mansion down. They built a fire station. It's the first fire station that hired all black male and female firemen. Tyler Perry did a television show. I think it's called, and it's filmed from that location where the mansion used to be at.
But he ain't dealing with the mansion. Everybody going with everybody.
Right. It's not dealing with the mansion. No, that story never been told about Tagliaflower. He was the first black middleweight boxing champion of the world. And my aunt bought that mansion from the people back in 1927 for $8,000.
Wow. See, this is what we need to know. This is the kind of history we need to know.
I'm absolutely positive then.
Huh?
You know, I just want to say this. Because our babies now are addicted to video, audio stuff, we got to make sure that they got something that's worth listening to and looking at.
We have got to do that, because what they are looking at and listening to now is detrimental to all of us.
Yep. It's poisoning their minds.
But it's
we know that.
Us.
So what I'm saying is we got to do something about it. Major Bob, is your niece still working for Tyler Perry?
She, you know, she initially she worked with Tyler. Matter of fact, she wrote a lot of the Madea's thing. She's working with another company now. But my nephew, my nephew was one of the top songwriters in the country. He worked with Beyonce when she was with Destiny Child, when she was about, I don't know, 10, 11 years old. I think he did the first album for Destiny Child with Beyonce.
Mm-hmm. Okay. See, these are the people you're talking about, Sister Beverly, because the young man that I was talking about, he worked with Beyonce, and he left Beyonce to go with Lady Gaga.
Okay. Yeah.
I mentioned him, Kern Bradley.
And we have to help the young people. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Actually, we need their help.
We help each other. We help them. Yeah. You're right. We help each other.
But Detroit has so much talent that's undeveloped. So much talent in this city here that's going to waste. So Kim is right. We got to get back with these young people and start developing that talent.
Yes.
But God showed me something a long time ago. He said there's going to be a second coming to Motown that's going to be bigger than the first when Barry Gordy started Hitsville. It's coming.
And I can believe that.
And he's going to get the glory this time. He told me the same thing. He said the eyes of the world are going to be on Detroit again in admiration. This time, I'm going to get my glory.
So we're talking with the same God. He's definitely put that in my spirit that there's going to be a second coming to Motown that's going to be bigger than the first, and he's going to get the glory.
Absolutely. Detroit is a special place. Talking to Brother Eric about the crystals. What is it? You said copper, and then we have the salt.
Uh-huh.
And we have the water.
The salt is the. Yes, and we have the hand of God. This is the only
state that's shaped like a mitten, and we say that. Yes. You see what I'm saying? This is a special place. Look at what
yes,
has already been done. All we got to do is do what we're supposed to do. That's all we got to do.
That's it.
I'm ready.
I have a person. Let me open up this line. 706-202.
Hotep and better love. And good evening, Nick.
Hotep, better love, Kwame.
And you too, and Brother Eric. And I don't know who the other guest is. I just chimed in because I was, on Mama AZ's celebration of her Earth Day today. And we just got off the little show we had celebrating. And I had to come and visit Miss Kim because, it's very important, and I'm grateful for her and the Creator for allowing her to give us, that story, our story of Motown, not his story, but our story of Motown, and to be here and to have that rebirthing of the gift of music for our people, because they're in Detroit, Motor City. That's the engine of soul music, of the soul but it also Detroit has a very special place in that was the crossing of that river to freedom into Canada. It was very powerful in that. And it has such powerful energy there. And the thing that I'm seeing is that what birthed there in Motown was the generations that now are the elders. And we're here mm-hmm. with this elder who has recorded memory, not books, not records, but she has memory of what this is about. And how, and able to use that memory to share with us on these platforms of technical spiritual tools to be able to archive it and be able to know that we're still having her energy to be able to do what the new Motown is going to do. But the other part, what Miss Kim did before she got remote, dealing with the church and the choirs. And being able to help the youth to birth this new generation of youth that are going to be the new Motowns.
Yes, absolutely. That's what's being created. Yes, it is. And we also, Kwame, we also have on the airwaves with us is the Colonel and the Major with the Tuskegee Airmen. And they were telling us about their air flight school that they have. That's going on
hello.
Here. So we have
yes, and yes. And
can you hear me?
Yes,
we can. We can hear you.
All right. I haven't said much. I've been enjoying the show myself, sitting back, relaxed. I've been driving all day.
okay.
Flying is something that the kids really like. And I enjoy teaching, and Bob has seen me at work teaching the kids in the simulator that they are required to do before they even go near an aircraft. They have to spend hours and hours and hours. Not a computer game. It is this flight simulator. It is about as real as it can get. The real professional pilot's license have to do the identical same thing. They have to put thousands of hours on a simulator to perfect what they do when flying us in those 737s and 747s and KC-5s like our Air Force doing, our F-18s, they have to spend that time. The ladies and the guys, there's no choice about it. Because the more we perfect our game militarily-wise and business-wise, the better our young people will learn to follow through. What I try and get the young people to learn how to do is fly the drone. So the drone that's in space right now, a kid can be sitting in a studio somewhere here on Earth controlling that drone, but it just so happened it's adults doing it right now. But I see kids doing it in the future.
Right. And I thank you.
And the big key is why that is so personal to me is because that didn't happen during my time. That was unheard of. And so
right.
for the kids to get it now through STEM, science, technology, engineering, math, which I've added a few words to, so I put air in front of STEM and called it air because the artificial intelligence is in the front there, and M for the mechanics of things they have to learn, and that goes with the math, if you will. Then you go to the opposite end, and I put CAT, which is communication, arts, and theater. It makes the air, STEM, CAT, because it pulls it together of all the technology that the kids need these days that these schools are trying to take out, and we're trying to come out and say, okay, fine, you want to take it out of school, we're going to go to the churches and teach it. That's what Bob and I have been doing. We go to
right.
schools and places where mm-hmm. we can go, and Bob and I have been teaching a long time together. So, and
yeah.
I enjoy that partnership because the kids get it from historical side, and he and I both are airborne. We both jump out of perfectly good aircrafts.
Right. or they push us out.
They push us out, they do.
Yeah, but I commend the general and both of you all, Bob and the other brother that's speaking now, is because, just like I was giving Ms. Kim, it's because you are the record keeper. You were there at that Tuskegee airstrip over there in Tuskegee, Alabama, and was trained there, not in the simulator, but trained there. And, you know, we look at even going back in the history of it, we had some of the great aviators that fought in World War I. Bessie Smith, what was her name? she was a pilot. The black woman, she was famous in World War One.
Josephine Baker was a slew for the French underground.
Bessie Coleman. And see, we've got to be able to know that even when you look in the tombs in Egypt that they open up, they showed aircraft, the actual planes that they had carved into the tombs in Egypt. We have always learned how to travel. We know about the craft we use to take the body, but we knew how to travel in the spirit. That's why the chamber was set up there in order, because it was a time capsule to where you could lay in the sarcophagus and with the resonating of the right mantras, you could transport that spirit back into space and bring it back. Because I look at what Mae Jameson did. Because if you look at all of the people that were going up in space when they were going, the black man, the spacecraft blew up with the black man on it, and the only person that made a complete round trip, the first round trip, was Mae Jameson.
Mae Jameson.
And because the black woman is the cosmic seed, because she is the one who goes into the galaxies. And understanding our alchemy and our way in which our women are in that power of transporting from the earthly plane into the spiritual plane. And what we're seeing now is this technological, the stimulators and all of this, because there was my cousin has a student friend of hers. She's a pilot for Delta. And they had the first flight where the stewardess, the pilot and co-pilot were actually the first blacks to ever have a complete flight with all black personnel for the flight. All women.
And I read about that.
I saw that.
Yeah,
all females. I think they flew from Atlanta to Nashville. All female.
Yeah. Right.
All
but
female
that was
crew.
Great. Right, but that was the whole greatness of our women. And so what we're seeing now, with what you all are doing with now giving knowledge to the next generations, who's to say what those next generations would stem and all of this other, but we have to also remember we still need to stay with nature. Because,
right.
Yeah, we can use the technical, but we've got to come back and do that, because sitting back in nature and watching hawk soar or eagle soars, where I live here in Georgia on this lake, I see the eagles, I see the hawks, I see all the different birds and how they're able to navigate. Even last night when I went out at 3 a.m. and I walked outside on the porch, and who greeted me but the owl, a big barn owl. And he was sitting there, and he scared me because he let me know he was there. He started hooting, and I jumped, and then he took off the branch, and I just seen the shadow of him moving because you can't even hear their wings. And that's where stealth comes from, because they got that design from the way the owl's feathers are in being able to fly without you hearing them.
Well, that's so interesting. And what part of Georgia you live in, sir?
I live in Eatonton, the birthplace of Alice Walker and the guy who wrote Burr Rabbit.
Okay. I was born in East Point, Georgia, about six miles from Atlanta.
I know where you're at, at that point. East Point, you said East Point, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, because Patsy Joe Hilliard, my friend Asa Hilliard, his wife was the mayor of East Point.
Oh, that's right. That's right. The East Point was an old Creek Indian reservation. So when we were kids going out in the woods, what we used to do, we used to go out and hunt rattlesnakes. And we learned as a kid is that a rattlesnake, once it calls, get ready to strike, can only strike 3/4 the length of their body. So if a rattlesnake is 2 feet long, he can strike out maybe a feet and a half. So we can get back 3 feet. So when they strike out, they would be shorter. And then we take off running zigzag, because snakes don't like to go zigzag. They like to speed along. So that was our fun with rattlesnakes as kids.
Even with the rattles, because all the rattle is just that's the tip of they shed skin every year, and that's the ending of their skin that makes their rattle. But when you
get a new coat.
And so I used to live in San Antonio, Texas. We used to go what they call rattlesnake hunting, because rattlesnake meat is very good and it's very expensive. And they have roundups that they have big roundups with rattlesnake going out there in the desert and rounding up rattlesnakes.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But even the music,
look
what
at
you're
all
talking about.
Knowledge.
Right. Mm-hmm. And but the other part in understanding what Ms. Kim is saying about the music, there is an orchestra right now. I'm sitting on the porch, and the tree frogs and the crickets are singing. Just at daybreak, you will hear a bird, and once a bird acknowledges the sun's energy is coming, they stop, and the birds start singing, and it's an exchange from the night to the day that each one knows to give their song for what we need to hear.
That's amazing. That is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I have learned some history tonight.
Nature sympathy.
Right.
And everything
right.
can have breath. Praise the Lord.
Speaking
of that, I got some creatures that want to say hello to y'all right now. Y'all listen to this.
Right.
And turn the volume up.
Can y'all hear that?
Oh, man.
Can
y'all hear that?
What is it? What is it? No.
I heard
it. Turn the volume up.
Well, it's cicadas and crickets and tree frogs and a whole bunch of
other.
That's like what was happening with the trees and Mama AG last night when you were talking, Brother Kwame.
Right. Well, we were talking and the trees. But see, that we have to understand, the tree, we're the youngest of creation. Everything else in nature is older than we are.
It was already here.
It was already here. And so the part
that
we're understanding is the tree is the first internet, because all of the roots are in the earth, and they're interconnected with the electrical current that is in the earth. And they all transmit and receive. And these are nothing but antennas that they're pulling down from the sun and the stars and the moon, and they stand and they put this energy into the earth, because this is how our soul connects to our mother. When we take off the insulated shoes and get barefooted and we walk on the earth, we become that energy, because we are energy, and this is the way that we can transport these spiritual parts of our inner being.
That's truly amazing.
And if you dig a hole and in the dirt and put your feet in there, you can feel the electricity, the energy from the earth. It's amazing.
Right. It's called earthing.
Feel it all through your body. Yeah.
It's called earthing.
Sister Mother,
and earthing.
That was said last night, wasn't it?
Mom AZ talked about that, and earthing is something that we've been doing for thousands of years. And even the part of using this Georgia clay and the different countries where we have, I mean, different parts of the states, we have clay. Even now, women use the clay. And this is how crystals are formed in silica there in Arkansas, which is the largest vein. And the brother was talking about technology. Crystals are the first technology. This is how we transmit and receive through the silica clear quartz crystal. This is how all our technology we use now comes from crystals. And I heard somebody was speaking about crystals and copper. That was how we made the first radios, is that they harvested the crystal, took catgut, rubbed it across there to make the crystal resonate at a frequency that the other crystal would pick up when you dialed it to the same tuning into each other. That's why they're like a tuning fork.
Brother Kwame,
the word resonates is a vibration.
Right. That's why quartz watch was made, because it keeps perfect time. It vibrates with the earth frequency.
There you go. There you go.
Big dad. When I was talking about the frequency, they mess with it. That's what I'm talking about. But Brother was telling me about the biggest copper thing. Is he under Detroit? Did I say that?
Yeah.
Right?
Copper mine.
Yeah. Copper mine. And the thing is because you look at something, the biggest iron ore is the sun within the center of the earth. This is how we stay magnetically and grounded here with the gravitational pull, is because the core of the molten iron that's in the center of the earth that's spinning just like the sun above it.
So the gentleman from Georgia, I need to get your phone number, and I'll give you mine.
I think we've met before Beth,
on
Dry Bones. You can text me, Mike.
I'll get it to you.
I'll make sure you get it. I'll give it to Miss Kim, and she'll give it to you.
Oh, okay, good.
Well, Kim has my number.
Okay.
I just said I'd get it to you. You all didn't hear me.
Okay.
Brother Kwame Sunhorse, I want to thank
Brother Eric?
Hey, brother, I want to thank us. I want to thank us for that wonderful deal that you did on YouTube, man, with our brothers over there with the skull, with the crystal skull.
Oh, that was the Mitchell Hedges crystal skull. There's 13 of them. That's the one. That's the Mitchell Hedges. That's the one that the little girl found down there in Peru when they were her father was an archaeologist, and she found it. And there's Max. There's the one in that. And then Brother Eddie has a. He's got a crystal, but they're 13 because in that skull is that's like a supercomputer. Is that when they created that from that time when they made those skulls, all of the energy and memory was in that, because clear quartz crystal is made from the waters of silica. From the vibrations and it forms its sacred geometry. And we had enough craftsmanship to where we created, they can't even duplicate that today in making those skulls from crystals, just as they can't duplicate the pyramids. We had a science beyond what science is, because we understood where science ends, spirituality, and this is how we were able to create and do the things that we left for us to be able to know the power of who we are.
Yes.
God be the glory.
Yes, yes. Thank you so much for that. And Beverly, can you play a song for Mama AZ? Today is Mama AZ's Earth Return. And we want to say we want to big up all cancers, everybody that's born in the month of July, and all the cancers. We want to say hello and happy birthday to everybody, and this is a wonderful broadcast. Thank you so much, Beverly, for making this possible. And thank all of the guests and the party.
Yeah, I want to thank everybody. But you know, I'm going to play the record that Mama AZ liked. And what did she tell me she liked? Let me she liked Rick James. Play this for Mama AZ. She likes Sapphire. Okay, this is for Mama AZ.
Oh, right on.
Happy Earth Day, Mama AZ.
When I'm watching you dance, I fall in a trance. Take me higher. Cleopatra, they were all sapphire.
Mama AZ, give us that picture of that duster with the crab on it. We still waiting for that. Hey, and Mama AZ, we got Lee Oscar coming back. Lee Oscar going to be back with his harmonica.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you know, okay. God bless her.
That song Bev, is just on point because uh-huh. The thing in which he was singing, Harriet Tubman and all the great black women, but the sapphire in itself metaphysically is a stone in which restores balance within the body, aligning the physical, mental, and spiritual planes, bringing serenity and peace of mind. It stimulates concentrations, brings lightness and joy. Sapphires is also known as the stone of prosperity. Stone of prosperity, attracting gifts of all kinds and fulfilling dreams and desires. And if that ain't a black woman, what is it?
Yes. Wow. Sapphire. Very powerful.
All right, this broadcast is a jewel in itself.
Yes, it is. And so,
yeah, go ahead.
Miss Kim Weston, go. Anybody have any last said, Miss Kim Weston? Now tell us
yes,
about
ma'am.
You still putting it together July the 18th, you say? You're going to be at
right.
the Detroit City Airport?
Right, and I'm hoping to do something at my church, Greater Phillips Temple. That's on Bethune and Bobien. And
okay.
We'll see how that works out. But between the two places, we want to give honor to Major Tillman as one of the mentors, because he's doing so many things. When I first met the major, he was doing magic. And I've seen all kinds of things, like dealing with our people of history, our children, or our babies. Because no generation has ever had to go through what they're going through. They don't realize it. But it's our job to make sure that they can see what the real thing is about. You know what I mean? There's so much negativity out there. We don't even need to talk about that. We need to deal with the positive and let them see the beauty that God has put in them. We are some special people. We are special people. Everybody's special, but I'm talking about our special. We are special people, and we got to learn what has already been there, what's already there.
And that's true. That is so true.
I want to say one other thing. I'd like to, we don't have the time on this show, but I'd like to know what the brothers feel about the concept I have of the Veteran and Community Coalition also dealing with a similar situation that I have with the youth program. I feel that the arts for the veterans will be like a debriefing that they say they don't get when they get home.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a part of what I'm working on, putting all that together. And I just want to know how...
Ms. Kim,
what
speaking of, and it's something that I was attempting, because being a Vietnam vet, we need to create a reboot camp, because men that come and women that go into the military, they are trained when they go in, but they're discharged when they come out. But there needs to be a reboot camp for the return, because what indigenous teaching is called, what the warrior spirit is called, the shadow man. And they have ceremonies that they do in being able to bring that warrior back to being that husband, that son, that brother, that uncle, back to the community, because there's a process in training it to be a warrior, but there's a process of bringing it back to being a male provider.
A part of the community, yes. Yes. That's, you know, from the veterans that God has put in my path, what they have said to me is, with the no debriefing process, that puts them at a war here at home.
Right. But that's why we need a reboot camp, because you go through a boot training, prepare you to do whatever it is that you're going to do in the military. They took you and trained you to be that what they wanted you to be. Now you need to train us to come back to be what we – yeah, but we got to be trained to be able to come back and be a provider in our community, because that time that you took us away and trained us to do what we did, we could have been learning to provide and protect and profess to our people in our community.
Yes. Well, one other thing, what I'm saying is, when you deal with the reality of bureaucracy and all of that, I know they're going to say, who do you think you are? That's why I want to go with the arts. How many veterans have artistic abilities, God-given, that if they would dwell into that, I believe that would help them. I believe that would be a help to ease that. And that camp definitely needs to be done. But the community needs to understand what's happening, too. The community has no idea what our brothers are going through when they come back home.
Right, but what you did with Marvin Gaye's brother, Fred, and being able to create the music with him after he returned back from Vietnam and asked his brother, Marvin, what's going on? And Marvin made the most popular song that's still popular today of what's going on.
But the problem with that one right there is nobody worked with Frankie with his gift. So consequently, he was locked up in that. And I do thank God that we had an opportunity to work together, because I'm going to say something that I know people will not understand, but this is my personal point of view. I believe the sound that Marvin eventually turned into was Frankie's sound. That's what Frankie sounded like. Naturally, Marvin had to get there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Actually, you said that, huh?
You observed it.
Right, but that's our story. It. See, she's telling us something that nobody knows and lived it, that she lived it, and she's able to give us these little breadcrumbs that is able to show us what our abilities can do.
And not just allow them to use their passion, but we've got to provide outlets. We've got to provide outlets for ourselves.
And the major and the other brother that both are pilots, it's one thing they teach a pilot is how to survival training. They can take that same training and teach those people when we have disasters and things that go on. What are some of the things that you know that they trained you into doing, being able to, if your plane went down in a forest or a jungle, you know how to survive because you've been trained how to eat from the land.
Yeah.
I wanted
survival.
To ask the colonel when he was talking about the pilot that landed the plane. Is that the man that landed on top of the little piece of land surrounded by water? Wasn't that in New Jersey? I thought something happened like that in New Jersey. Didn't that happen? Something like that happened in New Jersey.
Yeah, he landed the plane in the river.
Yeah,
when it was on crash, and he landed the plane. Even when they made the movie with Denzel Washington, he learned to fly on a crop duster. His father was his grandfather. One taught him how to fly on a crop duster, and he knew how to turn that plane upside down in order to get more distance. And they made that movie, but they charged him for that crash for those people. But he saved all of those people's lives, some of those that lived, because of the skills he learned from a black man teaching them how to fly a crop duster.
Well,
it has been a beautiful show, Sister Beverly. Beautiful show.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us. And we're going to continue to do this. And we're going to make the connections. And I appreciate you, Ms. Kim Western, for your talent. And I appreciate you, Kwame.
Yes.
I enjoyed your video that you did. And so
yes,
we're going to do this again. Okay. Better love. And this is our national anthem that we have here by Kim Western. Peace and love, everyone. Better love.
Bless you.
faith that the dark paths have taught us.
Let us march on.